reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. He noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this widow has put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we celebrated the solemnity of Christ the King, that the Lord is supposed to be King of our entire life, King of our time, in prayer, King of our love, in terms of our affections and our choices and the desires that we're really seeking to act on, and also King of all that he's given us, of which we're supposed to be stewards, and in one way or the other, use all that he's given us, not for selfish designs, but for his kingdom. That building up of his kingdom begins with feeding our kids. It begins with clothing. It begins with having a decent house. But it's all supposed to be for his kingdom. That brings us to today's gospel. One of the most beautiful women of all time, who Jesus pulled apart the apostles in order to praise, so that this woman, coming to the temple that day, would be remembered until the end of time. The way the donations in the temple worked is that there was this huge, more or less tuba-like structure in which you had the opening of the tuba up at the top, and people would come and then put in their money, and then it would roll down the tuba into more or less the safe at the bottom of the tuba. And when you put in a lot of coins, especially big coins, you'd hear the noise all the way down, and it made quite a ruckus, and those who were wealthy were able to demonstrate it very clearly, because it wasn't like somebody had no ability to tell whether they were putting in a $100 bill or a $1 bill. They're the exact same size. This would make a huge procession of noise. Some of the times people wanted to make that type of noise, blowing the trumpet before them, as the expression was for the Hebrews. Then this woman comes and she puts in 2 lepta. A lepta would make a penny seem big, both in terms of its value as well as its size. 2 little things that would make almost no noise as it went. But though she wasn't blaring a trumpet before her, Jesus himself was going to magnify her deed. Amen, I tell you, this poor widow was put in more than all the rest. Because for Jesus, it wasn't what the quantity given was. It was the quantity that was left behind. She was all in. She wasn't giving merely from her disposable income, from her surplus wealth. She was giving what she needed to survive, because she loved the Lord that much and she trusted him that much, that she gave all. That is a proper way to introduce the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary today, the feast that we celebrate. This feast goes to the pseudo-gospel of St. James, one of the early writings that was excluded from the gospel because when the church started to look at it, there were a lot of heretical doctrines in it, Gnostic heresies. The Gnostics were the early heretics who thought that Jesus didn't really tell us everything we needed to be saved. There was a secret knowledge. And I know that secret knowledge. And I'll tell you if you start to go through all of these practices with me. So the church, when it looked at the pseudo-gospel of St. James, for example, recognized that it was not inspired by God. But that doesn't mean necessarily that all the facts that were claimed in the pseudo-gospel were all false. The same way the example that I use is when the Unabomber, my fellow Harvard graduate, sent his manifesto, most of it was just total craziness. But when he was citing the president's name, when he was mentioning various geographical places in the United States, it wasn't like that was all crazy. There were certain facts that were believable. Same thing with the pseudo-gospels. So the pseudo-gospels tell us that when Mary was two, Joachim and Anne wanted to give her totally back to God in the temple, which was something that many Jews would do. We see it, for example, in the life of the prophet Samuel, when somebody was a miraculous child, definitely given by God for a purpose, they wanted to make sure that that person was given back to God. But Joachim said, no, let's wait until she's three so that she's no longer going to be desiring parents, especially in that period of weaning. So at the age of three, they brought her to the temple. They placed her on the stairs to walk up to the temple, and immediately she started dancing in such a way that everybody fell in love with her. It was there that she prayed. It was there that she served in the temple. It was there that she grew to be a temple of the Lord. Whether the facts are true or not, it was clear by the time the archangel came to Mary 11 years later that Mary was already all in. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Ecce ancilla Domini. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm at your service. Let it be done to me as you say. She was all in, not just partially, but fully. And we have to remember that about the Blessed Virgin Mary, that one, she was that type of disciple who reveals to us how to follow her son. And then second, she is a mother who wants to raise us to imitate that total self-gift in return to the Lord who has given us life and given us redemption. She wants to raise us to be capable of doing what her son did, doing what she herself did. And that is the greatest issue facing the Catholic Church today in the United States and the globe. More than anything else, when so many Catholics aren't on fire because we think all God wants is the minimum. If we give God something, if we give him a little bit more than the rest, if we give him a little bit more than maybe we did last week, that's all he wants. No, God wants it all. And that might seem a standard up here. Brothers and sisters, that's the standard. We shouldn't be trying to water down God's expectations. He wants us all. He wants to be able to pull aside the apostles and all the saints in heaven like he did in the temple and say, that person at St. Anthony's this morning might not have the type of life in which biographers are going to be writing 25 biographies when the person passes, but that person is greater than all the rest. That person is totally given herself, himself, over to me. Today we celebrate Pro Orantibus Day. It's a Latin expression that means a day of prayer for those doing all the praying for us. Those who live the incredibly hidden lives in cloistered convents or as hermits out in the middle of nowhere or in monasteries, spending their day not doing nothing, but working and offering that work to God for us, and then doing the greatest opus Dei of all, which is prayer and praise of God for us. This is the day in which we recognize more than anything else that prayer is the most important thing, and praise those who have said, it's not enough for me to just go and get my job and say a few prayers before I go to bed, but the Lord who has given me life and has called me to a true drama of love with him deserves my all. And these women and men, in that very hidden life in which they will not become known on earth, are loving God with all that they've got at the same time that they're sharing in his mission of saving the world through their prayer, the most powerful thing a human being can do. Today is a day in which we pray for them in gratitude and pray for their needs, because obviously the devil wants to thwart those who have dedicated themselves in this way of prayer for the salvation of the world. The greatest prayer of all that we make, the greatest means by which we're able to give to the Lord back what he has given us, happens in this divinum commercium, this divine exchange in which Jesus gives us himself all the way down to the last drop of his blood, far greater than 2 lepta. And the only worthy response to that is for us to do the same. Today, let's collect up all that God's given us and offer it to the Father together with Christ on the paten.